This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Jason and Liz Burns in Access Church in Lakeland and Bartow, Florida. For more information, visit access.tv.
Well, let's get to work today, everybody. Today is a special day. Today, I'm starting a series of messages called Every Thought Captive. Today, I want to get you to think about the stuff you think about. Here's why. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Essentially, what you think about is going to shape and impact your life. And I want you to think about the stuff you're thinking about. Let's have a moment of honesty. You ever had an intrusive thought win? You ever have this before? Yeah, you ever think something and you didn't have time to really think about it and you said it and it was an intrusive thought and you shouldn't have said it, but the moment you said it, you thought, ooh, shouldn't have said that. Anybody ever have that? People sometimes get on me. They're like, you said some stuff you shouldn't have said. And I'm like, you say as many words as I do in a microphone to this many people, but every once in a while I'm preaching and I say something and I'm like, ooh, shouldn't have said that. It happens. It happens to the best of us. About 10 days ago, I had one of those moments where an intrusive thought kind of won. I was flying up to New York on a Thursday morning. I was flying through the Tampa airport. And so I fly a lot. So I have TSA PreCheck, which next to my relationship with God and giving to the local church, I think it's the best money I've ever spent. I love TSA PreCheck. So I'm in the TSA PreCheck line, and I usually fly right through it. So I get there, I put my bag on the scanner, it goes through, and I go through the first metal detector, and there's no sound, so I thought, I'm good to go. And I take two steps forward, and the machine goes, bump, bump. I was like, what does that mean? And the guy said, you have been selected for random screening. And I thought, well, this is good. So I go to another machine. The next machine is the one where you put your hands up like this, and the thing scans you. No big deal, I think I'm good to go, and I walk out, and there is a computer monitor that's got an outline of a human body, and for whatever reason, this region of my body, my no-fly zone, if you will, lights up. I have no idea why, and so this sweet lady goes, well, I'm sorry, sir, we're gonna have to do a bit of a more invasive search. Now, this is normally where my intrusive thoughts come out. And this is normally where I would say something like, well, I'm flattered, but I'm married, or not without dinner first, or something inappropriate like that. And so this man comes over, and he's putting gloves on. And I can't explain to you what that did to me. And he says to me, he says, sir, would you like to do the pat down here or in a private room? And I said, I want as many people to see this as possible. Like, I don't know you. I don't trust you. So he says, sir, spread them. And I'm like, ugh. So anyways, he tells me what he's going to do. And he starts like, his hands starts on my shoulders and he works his way down. And honestly, he's rounding second base at this point with me. And it's awkward. And I don't know how to explain this. I had controlled my intrusive thoughts. I hadn't said anything inappropriate. And he gets to my thigh and his hand is inside my shorts on my thigh. And he does this little honk, honk squeeze. and he goes, good thighs. Are you a bicyclist? And I was like, this is none of your business. This is a yes or no. Like, keep your thoughts to yourself, brother. Grateful for the compliment, but get me out of here, right? You ever have a moment like this? Like, our thoughts have so much power. They really do. Sometimes the intrusive thoughts win, but you need to think about what you're thinking about because our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So much so that Paul says in the book of Romans, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Like, I want you to think about what you're thinking about. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. I want you to notice he uses two words that have wildly different meanings. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. And in both circumstances, here's what you need to understand. All of us, one way or another, are being formed. We're being formed. And what he says is, I want you to be careful. Like, I want you to pay attention to your thought life because I don't want you to conform. Now, this word conform is an interesting word. The original Greek word literally means to be molded by something external. If you're a literary person, if you enjoy like understanding grammar and tense, this word conform in the original language is written in the present imperative tense. It's kind of a nerdy way to say this. It literally means it's happening to you right now. Like all of us, Paul says, are being formed into something. And if we're not careful, we'll be conformed, which means to be molded by something external. The same verse we just read from a different translation called the J.B. Phillips translation says it just like this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. God wants to shape us and form us into who he's called us to be, but the world around us, if we're not careful, will pressure us, squeeze us, and try to mold us into its own fitting. Now, one of the things I love to do every year is I love my in-laws. I don't know if you have good in-laws or not, but I always tell young couples, just pay attention to the in-laws because they become your family. And I'm grateful. I got the best. My wife got the best. Like, we just love our families, which is so fun. And you may not know this about me, but I'm going to invite you into one of my favorite things in my whole life. About 13 years ago, I was at an outdoor wedding with my in-laws. And my mother-in-law is this beautiful woman, and she just really cares about looking put together. Her hair is always perfect, makeup perfect. She's always dressed to the nines. And then we're at this wedding, and it was an outdoor wedding in Florida, which in my opinion should be illegal in the state of Florida. And it was so humid outside. And because of that, her hair just kept poofing out. And so I was sitting across the table from her, and she was always like trying to pull her hair down and just trying to mess with it. And she could never get it straight, and she was so frustrated. Well, at one point, she had turned away from me, and I thought, this is my moment. So I pulled my phone out, and I said, hey, Mom. And she turned around, and I took this picture of her. And I don't even think it's that bad, but she was so mad at me. She's like, you got to delete that. You can't have that. And that was all the ammunition I needed. And so for Christmas that year, which was like 7 months later, I printed this on a photo canvas, and I wrapped it as a gift for her. And I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but she got like mad about it. So while she was getting lunch prepared, I took the picture, the family picture off of the fireplace mantle, and I put this one there, and then she got mad again. Well, that's all I needed. And so the next year, I printed this picture on like a Christmas ornament, no big deal, and she got mad about that. And then I made a stuffed animal, like a custom doll, out of this picture, and I printed it on men's underwear. I printed it on stretchy yoga pants, which was one of my favorites because I gave them to her. She laughed, and while she was laughing, I dropped my pants, and I was wearing a pair of them, like super fun. This year, this last year, I printed it on a custom 7-foot-tall lawn inflatable. Like, that's a good way to keep mosquitoes away, everybody. Like, I put that out there. But one year, I had this idea. I thought it was super funny. It was a 2-part idea, okay? I'll tell you the second part first. The second part was, I wouldn't be able to wrap this and give it to her, but what I did was I printed it on a shower curtain, and my idea was go to their house and replace the inside of the shower curtain with the picture so that when it's open, which is closed to one side, you wouldn't see it. But imagine she gets in the shower and she closes it, and there, like 8 feet wide, is this picture of her, right? I thought it was awesome. But what I wanted to do to throw her off of the trail was, for Christmas, I had made a custom cookie cutter. It looks exactly like this. And it was great. I was gonna make cookies, and then a girl, Tara, from our church staff, was gonna paint them to look like her. And I was so excited about this, and then I learned a very valuable lesson, is you can't talk about it to thousands of people before you give it, okay? So people are like, what are you gonna do this year? I'm not telling you, okay? And so I made the mistake in mid-December. I told our church, I got this great idea, shower curtain, cookie cutter. And then on Monday, I get a call from my mother-in-law. She's like, I feel so bad. She goes, last night I had some insomnia and I just couldn't sleep. And so I thought, I'll watch whatever Jason preached about at Access. And so she saw it and it ruined my idea. But you know, sometimes they say that challenge or struggle is the motherhood of ingenuity. I used that energy and I turned that year into a billboard for her. That's what I did. Haters will say it's fake. All right. So, it's been fun. By the way, if you want to see all of them, go to my Instagram at @IamJasonBurns and just scroll back to every Christmas. It's been so many years of so much fun for me. Now, I want you to think back about the cookie cutter thing for just a moment. This is important, okay? Imagine you made a tray of cookies, but not circles. You just made like a big rectangle shape of cookies. And you had the cookie cutter and you cut it. At that point, that's what its shape is going to be. What the Bible wants you to understand, Paul says it, even Jesus alludes to it, the Bible wants you to understand that all of us are being shaped into something. We're taking the form of something in our lives, and Scripture is really intentional about thinking about the way that we're being shaped and the way that were being formed. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon, who's the wisest man to ever live, said, I want you to be careful how you think, and here's why. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life, which means the direction, the purpose, the vision, the things you'll accomplish, all of your life is shaped by the things that you're thinking about. So here's the question I want to get you to wrestle with today. What do I think about? Like, what's the stuff that goes through my mind? Here's a different way to think about that question. What is the stuff I'm feeding on? What news am I feeding on? What social media am I feeding on? What voices am I allowing to have impact and influence in my life? What am I feeding my mind on? Quick little thought for you. The stuff you feed grows, the stuff you starve dies. And a lot of people are like, I'm just so overwhelmed by everything. And it's like, what are you feeding? We feed the wrong stuff. And if you came to church today and you're like, well, Jason, look, I feel too far gone. My mind is just, it's a battlefield. I feel like every single day is a different battle for me. And there's nothing I can do about it. I've got really great news for you. Both according to God's word and according to science, you can literally change all of this. Well, let me show it to you in science. I love that the science is catching up to what the Bible has said the whole time. There is a study in what's called neural sciences, the study of the brain, called neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is this idea that our brains are constantly able to change and to create new pathways. That's what it means. Like, your brain can create new neural pathways. It's the reason that the first time you do something, it seems challenging and difficult, but if you do it over and over and over, it gets easier. It's kind of like if you move to a new city and you drive from your house to your job for the first time, you're thinking about everything. Well, there's a stoplight there. Oh, there's a stop sign there. Oh, this is a school zone. Speed limit's 45. You're thinking about every detail. But when you've done it enough times, sometimes you'll drive from work to home and you get home and you think, I don't even remember driving home. It's because your brain has created a new pathway where that becomes normal for you. By the way, if you find yourself struggling in an addiction or a habit and you find yourself unable to break out of it, it's because your brain has created a neural pathway that has accepted that as fine and okay. So in science and in psychology, there's this thing called the law. It's the law of cognition. The law of cognition says what you think about will determine who you are. This is so important because a lot of us have had things said over us that we've chosen to believe is true. Maybe when you were a kid, words were spoken over you. Psychologists call it the early and the often factor. Words were spoken over you early in your life or often enough in your life that's made you believe it. You thought to yourself, man, well, I was called dumb when I was a kid. I must be dumb. I was said that I had no value or I was worthless, so I must be worthless. Or conversely, maybe you've had positive things spoken over you. You feel like you are a winner. You feel like there is something special inside of you. And what tends to happen is we either rise to the level of the word spoken over us or we fall to the substandard view of the word spoken over us. And in either case, we miss out. Then what happens to all of us, this is true for all of us, is we think something's gotta change, like I can't live this way. So what we try to do is we try to change our behavior. But the truth is behavior modification alone won't change anything. You ever found yourself stuck in a habit or an addiction and you think to yourself, I'm just gonna quit, cold turkey, I'm gonna quit, no big deal, I'll quit. And so we try as hard as we can to quit whatever the habit is, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days go by, then something happens, we have a bad day and we fall right back into the habit. It's because behavior modification without thinking transformation doesn't lead to any change. Instead of paying attention to our behavior, we need to get to the root, which is our thoughts. Our behavior flows from our thoughts. So here's what I'm gonna challenge you to do today. Today I wanna challenge you to think about the things that you're exposing your mind and your thought life to. A moment ago, I told you what's called the law of cognition. There's another thing in social sciences called the rule of exposure. And what the rule of exposure says, it says whatever we're exposed to the most shapes our thoughts. Whatever we're exposed to the most shapes our thoughts. I want you to think about your social media for just a moment. What are you feeding on? Because whatever you expose yourself to the most is gonna shape your thoughts, which ultimately shapes you. You know what the Bible calls this? The Bible calls this a stronghold. This is kind of an interesting word. We don't use this very much in our modern language, but stronghold was actually kind of a military term, and I want you to understand what it was. In the time of the Bible, a stronghold would be inside of a city, which probably had walls. At the highest point, often they would build a multi-layered, multi-walled place called a stronghold. It would look something like this. And it was always up at the highest point, and they would build walls, and inside of it, they'd build more walls, and inside of it, eventually, they would build the stronghold, and it was considered the safest place. So if you had a city, on the top of the tallest hill might be the stronghold, and if there was a war that came to you, you might take your leader or your most influential people and put them in the stronghold for safety. According to Scripture, what a lot of us do is we will believe and buy into lies, and then we do the craziest thing with the lies. We protect them. We build a stronghold around them. Oh, that's just how I am. My mom always said that about me. I guess it's just how God made me. And we buy into a lie, and then we protect the lie. I had a friend many years ago, a pastor named Jim Weidman, and I'll never forget, he said this. He said, the only way to tear down a stronghold is to replace false information with that which is true. And I need you to understand, if you came to church today and your life is dominated by some strongholds, some lies you've believed, Scripture has a pathway for you to get out of this. You can create new neural pathways. Neuroplasticity can be a gift from God to you to rewire your brain so that you're no longer subjected and in captivity to your thoughts. The book of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes a letter to a church that's so messed up. And he said this in chapter 10. He said, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to do what? Demolish strongholds. Okay, what does this mean? It means with the word of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit, those lies that you've protected, those strongholds you have built up in your life, they can literally be torn down, or like this word, demolished. Then he goes on, next verse, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay, so listen. So what he's saying is anything you think about that is opposite or contrary to the word of God, we demolish those arguments. And then I love this line. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What does that mean, Jason? It means the average person has between 60 and 80,000 thoughts per day. But you probably don't think you have that many thoughts. It's because 95% of those live below the level of consciousness. You think about things you don't even think about. You're distracted by things. Things happen. Things flash through your mind. You make lots of decisions you don't even think about. And what Paul wants you to understand is there is a way for you to start thinking about the stuff you're thinking about, particularly when it's building a stronghold in your life. Here's what he wants you to understand. You're either going to take your negative thoughts captive, watch this, or they will take you captive. You will either take those negative, sinful thoughts captive, or you will find yourself trapped in the tyranny of the stronghold. This is the reason why Paul says, the first verse we read, he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Remember, conform means like something external forcing you into some sort of a mold. It's something that's happening to you regardless of if you can see it or not. But he says, instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Pause here for just a moment. This word transformed is interesting. This one is called the present imperative tense. This is a passive imperative tense, which is weird because it means it's something you can't do, but you must do. It's something you can't do on your own. It means you need God's help, but you must do it. And God wants to do this. You must be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. This word transformed is a fun word in Greek. It's the word metamorpho. Metamorpho is the word that we would transliterate in English, metamorphosis. It is the process by which a caterpillar metamorphosis transforms into a butterfly. When I was a kid, this is gonna be hard for some of you young people to believe, but when I was a kid, my brother and I would fight every morning over the TV because in my home, we had a couple TVs. In our living room, we had a color TV, but in our bedroom, we had a little black and white TV. And I know that seems weird. I'm from the 1900s. I'm very old, okay? And the reason it was a big deal is I would want to watch SportsCenter. I love ESPN. I love that era of SportsCenter with Stuart Scott and all the guys. I loved it. But my brother liked this TV show called The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Anybody see this one? And he would have to watch it in black and white because that was the big brother. And he'd be like, I can't even tell which Power Ranger is which because they're all the same color. They're all gray. Whatever. And it was so funny to me because if you've ever seen that show and they've had several iterations of it, anytime there was a problem that they needed to solve, they would say this phrase, it's morphing time. Listen to me, church. When it comes to your thoughts, morphing time. It's time to change. It's time to stop being trapped in the strongholds. It's time to stop being trapped in those patterns of wrong thinking. You can create new neural pathways, and God wants to transform, metamorphosis. He wants to transform your mind from what it is into something beautiful. Why does this matter? Write these down quickly. I've got four quick things for you. Number one, this week I challenge you to what I'm calling an exposure experiment. An exposure experiment is I want you to think about what you think about. Here's why. Number one, our thoughts establish our emotions. If you were at church last week, Liz preached a beautiful message on our emotions and how they affect our relationships. And a lot of people wrongly think that I'm driven by my emotions. That is not true. Your emotions are a gift from God. They're wonderful, but don't put them in the driver's seat at all. And I want you to understand it's your thoughts that establish them. Some people are like, well, how is that possible? What you think about dictates your mood. What you think about changes how you feel. Sometimes you have to choose to do something and the feelings eventually follow. Some years ago, there was a lady that came to me and she's like, I'm just so upset about everything. And I was like, well, this is gonna be fun. And she told me everything going on. It was all bad, all doom and gloom. It was all gray skies and cloudy. And she tells me everything. And I said, cool, let me ask you a question. What's something good happening in your life? There's nothing good. Like, there's gotta be something good. You have kids, right? She goes, yeah, I got two. How are they? Oh, they're great. Oh, what else? You're married, right? She goes, yeah. I said, how's your husband? Oh, he's wonderful. But you've got nothing good in your life? So I said, I have a challenge for you. I said, right now I'm gonna buy you a journal. I said, give me your address and I'm gonna send you a journal from Amazon. And so I sent her a journal and I said, I want you to call this your gratitude journal. And every single day I want you to get up and I want you to just write three things that you're thankful for that day. Just write three things. Why? Because you're so focused on the negative that you're missing the beauty. Like your emotions are driving you, you're missing it. This is the reason in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, give thanks in what? All circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So like if you start paying attention to some things and you start being grateful for some things, what'll happen is your emotions will eventually follow. Our thoughts establish our emotions. Number two, our thoughts direct our decisions. And this is important because your life is made up of a bunch of decisions. You are one decision away from an entirely different life. So we need to think about what we're thinking about so that we can get the life that God has called us to. Number three, our thoughts regulate our relationships. Well, here's a big one for you. Our thoughts have this way of blessing or destroying our relationships. Let me give it to you professionally, like in business, and then let me give you a marriage or a relationship example, okay? In every relationship, there's what I call gaps. There's moments when I don't know what you're doing or I don't know what you're thinking, and it's a gap. And every time there's a gap in a relationship, you get an opportunity to do this. You get a moment where you can fill in the gaps. What does that mean? Okay, so let me give you a work example, okay? Let's say you're at work, it's Tuesday, it's 3 o'clock, and you have been killing it. You've been working so hard that you didn't even eat lunch. You are exhausted. And there's a person on your team that you are trying to get a hold of and you can't reach them. And you've called them, you've emailed them, you've Slacked them, you've texted them, you've DM'd them, you've done everything you can think to do, but they're not responding at all. Gap. What do you fill the gap in with? Trust or suspicion? Suspicion says, I'm here busting my tail and I can't even get them. They might be taking a nap right now. Trust says, if I'm this busy, they're probably just as busy. That's why I can't reach them. Can you see the difference of how it affects your relationships? Let's talk about marriage for a moment. Guys, you get home and there's three Amazon packages at the door. And you didn't order them. Oh boy, I'm stepping into something here. Okay, don't elbow your wife, okay? And in that moment, there's a gap because you don't know what it is. You have a choice. Can't believe this woman. As soon as we make money, she spends it. Negative. Or, I don't know what she spent it on, but I'm sure it was something our family needed because I know she has our family's best interest at heart. See the difference? Our thoughts regulate our relationships, so how are you filling in the gaps of your relationships? Number four, our thoughts determine our spiritual growth. I want to show you a verse because what we think about God is the most important thing in our life. That's what A.W. Tozer said. In the book of Colossians, Paul says it like this. Set your mind. Let me just pause here and say this. That means that's your choice. You choose what you think about. So set your mind on things above, not earthly things. Can I show you what this means in my little world? In my world, this is why worship is such a big deal. Because what I tend to do is when I have problems, I tend to make my problems really big. I tend to give my focus to it. I tend to think about it. It wakes me up in the middle of the night because that's what I'm thinking about. But what worship does is it says, God, I'm seeing how big, how majestic, how powerful you are. I'm choosing to magnify you, which in turn reminds me how small comparatively my problems actually are. Paul says, set your mind. Go ahead and make a decision. God, I'm placing my mind on you. My thoughts are on you. But my heart, my focus, my energy, it belongs to you. And the things of this world, they just grow strangely dim. They just seem smaller in comparison. So what do I want you to do with this? I want to challenge you for 7 days to really think about what you're thinking about. If it's true that what you feed grows and what you starve dies, I want you to think about what you're thinking about because there's some stuff in your life that you need to starve. Your social media feed. You know, it shows you the stuff you're most interested in, right? It's really smart. So if you're a person who like really latches onto things that elicit fear, it'll show you lots to be afraid of. If you're driven by lust, it'll show you plenty of things that you shouldn't see to lust after. Like what you're driven by, it's what it's gonna feed you. So what if you just starved it all together? Maybe someone needs to do a social media fast just for a week. Just see how you feel as a result of it. Maybe you are a person who's driven by the news. And every morning, the first thing you do is you check the news. Every night, last thing you do before you go to bed is check the news. And you check it 50 times a day. And you're worried about conflict in the world. And you're worried about gas prices. And you're worried about how we're going to feed our children. You're just like worried by the news. Here's a fun phrase, selective ignorance. Just means that you're choosing to not know everything. Here's why. I believe the human heart wasn't intended to have the exposure to all the stuff we have at our fingertips all the time. Are you with me? I think that there's some stuff in your life that you probably need to take a break from. There's probably some friends that you just need to hit pause with because all they do is talk negatively to you and about you. Here's something fun. How about you get off the gossip train this week? And you stop talking about anybody in any way other than beautifully and positively. How about this week, anytime someone comes to you with some gossip, be like, oh, that's not my story. I don't need to know that. How about when you know something and someone asks you for information, just say, that's not my story to share. How about you talk about your friends, but just say the good stuff. Just bless them. Just honor them with your words and see what it does to you. And what if we just tried this for 7 weeks and 7 days? And what if 7 days turned into 7 weeks? And what if 7 weeks became a habit and a lifestyle for us? Here's what I promise you will happen. What the Bible says will come true, which is we're no longer being conformed to the ways of this world, but we're allowing God to transform us by the renewing of our minds. What if we all just made this decision over this next month? We're gonna say, God, would you change my mind, which will change my life? And if God can change your life, he can change everything. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me all across this place and at all of our locations? So God, in this place, give us the courage to actually do this, to stop being conformed, pressed into a mold or a shape of this world, but instead give us the courage to be transformed, metamorpho, because it's morphin time, change into the people you've called us to become. God, may we do what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, and may we take every thought captive, which means there's some strongholds that need to fall. There's some things that need to change in our life. God, give us the courage to demolish every stronghold and to replace those lies with your truth. God, I know we can't do it in our own strength, but the great news is we don't have to do it in our own strength. So God, with the authority of your word and by the power of your spirit, may some lies and some strongholds be torn down and may we be changed because of it. We thank you in advance for it, God, for what you're gonna do in us. In Jesus' name. With your head still bowed and eyes still closed, maybe you came to church today and you haven't made the most important decision. You've never made the decision to follow Jesus. And I don't know what this means for you. Maybe it means you've never decided to follow Jesus, or maybe you just feel like you've walked away. But in either case right now, if you need to start or restart following Jesus, would you have 3 seconds of courage and just raise your hand real high. Wherever you are, just raise your hand right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So cool. Thank you right there. I see you. This is cool. Thank you. This is awesome. If this is you, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me and let Jesus change your life. And I challenge you, pray it out loud. And I want you to know this, you're sitting around a lot of people who love you, who will not let you pray this on your own. We stand with you. So we're gonna all pray this together out loud. Come on, I invite everybody to pray this with me out loud. Say, Jesus. Come on, everybody. Jesus, I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Change my life. Make me new from the inside out. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you gave your life for me. And because of your sacrifice, my life can be made new. So Jesus, today, I give you my life. I choose to follow you. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, church fam, let's celebrate with those who just made that decision.